Hi, you're listening to a podcast from Frontline Youth Group. We're so glad you're here. This podcast was recorded at our weekly Frontline program. We hope it encourages you and we'd love to see you at our next event. Enjoy.
Hey, I just want to let you know tonight, I feel blessed to be here, but I need you to understand that I am not just here by accident tonight. I feel like I'm on assignment. What does that mean? I feel like I got a word from God. I got a story to tell. So we're going to jump into some scripture in a moment. And if you're like, bro, I haven't read my Bible all week. I messed the group chat. I forgot to do my devos. I got a bit of scripture tonight that I want to cover that's going to help us leapfrog and jump into the story I have to tell tonight. But I want to say this from the outset. I believe Jesus is who he said he is, and Jesus can do what he says he can do. And I believe in about 20 minutes that there's going to be many young people after you hear this story and how good Jesus is and what he's done for you, you're going to respond to the gospel. But I'm going to jump straight into scripture right now. It's going to be on the screen, but for the next 3 minutes, let's lock in and let's read this together. I'm going to go to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. You're like, bro, that's a lot of scripture. It's all right. If you missed on Connect Group this week, I got you. If you've never read the Bible before, watch what happens when Jesus enters the situation. Let's read. Now, Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. He said, "My little daughter is dying." He said, "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. And then a woman in the crowd who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them. And she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. Young person, I don't know what you've heard about him tonight, but I'm here to tell you that he's alive, that he is still on the throne, that he can still change your life, save your heart, set you apart. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, young person, your thoughts are important. Make sure you know and catch what you're thinking. She just thought to herself, if I could just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Verse 30, stay with me. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out for him. So he turned around and looked at the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? And his disciples looked at him like, Jesus, look at the crowd pressing around you like, do you not see who's around you? How can you ask that? Who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then this frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over. The last seven verses. And he went. While he was still speaking to her, messages arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. And they told him, your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said, Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. And Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except for Peter, James, and John. When he came to the home of Jairus, he saw many commotions, weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, she's only asleep. The crowd laughed at him. Oi, top tip, don't laugh at Jesus, doesn't end well. Then he made them all leave. Okay, bye, Felicia. Then he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Stay with me. Holding her hand, he said, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up, walked around, and they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus told them with strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened and then told them to give her something to eat. Yo, I'm just telling you right now, if I've just been raised from the dead, get me a burger. Like, bro, these hips don't lie. I like food, and I'm telling you right now, get me a burger, Macca's, Hungry Jack's, KFC, Betty's. The bigger, the better. The interesting thing about this book when I read from Mark is you've got to understand the angle and the people that Jesus is speaking to, what the book's about. Mark describes the movements of Jesus as he went from place to place, meeting physical and spiritual needs of all kinds. And young person, I've come here tonight to tell you that Jesus is in the room. And if you have a need, maybe you're far from God, maybe you think he doesn't love you, maybe there's something happening in your heart or your head right now, can I tell you, Jesus is in the room and he wants to help you tonight. The title of my message and the story that I want to share with you tonight is simply this. One encounter can change everything. One encounter can change everything. Man, I remember the day that I met my now wife. Boys, can I tell you, this is how you know Jesus is real. Bro, I know I'm a short king. I know how I'm made. But this woman, get this. I was like, that's all the short people being like, yeah, preach it, man. That's me too. It's all right. Without the mustache, you would have thought I was a young person tonight. It's all right. She prayed, God, give me a guy the same height as me. Who does that? When I heard that, I was like, that's me. Hello. I will be your husband. Man, I remember the day that I first held my son. I first held my daughter. These encounters, they changed everything. I remember as a teenager, even though I grew up in a Christian family, I remember the day, the hour, the place that I decided to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. Can I tell you, one encounter can change everything. Let me show you some photos. This is the first lot of photos right here. Now, that is not my son, that is me as a chubby, healthy baby. Clearly, I'm happy, I'm having fun, and then I've got an addiction to sand. It's all right, I don't know what's going on there, but God saved me. Like I said earlier, I want to tell you about how God radically healed me out of a wheelchair. Friend, my life was pretty normal growing up. As you can see, I'm healthy, I'm whole, I got two older brothers, I got an older brother, older sister. I like to say it like this. My parents kept trying until they were happy. Then they had me and like, we're done. So if you're the youngest in the family, let's go. You're my people tonight. We had a great family dynamic growing up on the Gold Coast. But everything changed when I turned 5 years old. I'd love you to show you this next photo. Now, I want to tell you right now, how did I go from a Macca's birthday party, which honestly would send you bankrupt now. I don't know what's going on with inflation, but Macca's is really expensive right now. But back then, $5 got you everything you needed. Now, it's like 40 bucks and change. But this is me at 5 years old, living my best life now. And then within a year, this is me in a wheelchair. Well, at the age of five, I remember being in school and just becoming incredibly ill. I remember my dad rushing me to the doctors. They weren't too sure what was going on, so they sent me on my way. Another day, I was out at the tennis court playing my brother in tennis. I was going for the winning shot. Doesn't matter, but I did win, and it was awesome. And then I collapsed in that moment. Classic older sibling thing. My dad runs in, blames my brother. He's done nothing, but I've just fallen to the ground. They rushed me to the hospital, and then at 5 years old, I spend 6 weeks in the hospital while they look at me, trying to figure out what's wrong with this little boy. They're prodding me, they're testing me, they're flying in specialists. And at the end of that 6 week, they look my mum and dad in the eye and they say, I don't know how to tell you this, it's not something that he inherited, it's not in your bloodline, but your five-year-old son doesn't just have arthritis, but he has a rare version of it. And they looked my parents in the eyes and they said, we're sorry to tell you that he has arthritis in every joint in his body. And in one moment, this encounter changed everything. I went from going to school in year one, happy, fun-loving. Then God bless her, my teacher, bringing me back the next year in grade two and getting me up in front of the whole class and now telling everyone why Darren is now different. And at the age of five and six, this started a nine-year journey of me losing my health, losing my ability to walk, make friends. Can I tell you right now, nothing prepares you at 5 years old to go from normal living than to waking up and having to have special routines, medication, doctor's visit. Nothing prepares you from going to school and being perfectly fine, then the next year coming back and now everyone knows your name, not because you're popular, but because you have a dysfunction. Can I tell you tonight, young person, one encounter with Jesus can change everything. I want to show you this next group of photos right now. This is me now at about maybe 7 to 9 years old. It should be me in an electric wheelchair. Don't ask me why I'm in the cleaning aisle. I ain't doing laundry. I don't know why I'm there. I am buying nothing. I don't know why I'm in this aisle. I was probably skipping it to the toy aisle. Let's be real. I was buying an Xbox 360 when that thing was first coming out. That's old school now. Don't judge me, okay? It's all good now. But this is me at 7, 8, 9. And the reality of what happened was I was growing up in a Christian family. I went to my church every week. But over these years, I got sicker and sicker. The doctors did everything they could to treat me. They did everything they could to make my life comfortable. But I went from walking to a wheelchair where I could push myself, then to being so fragile in body, I ended up in this electric wheelchair. Now, you better believe I learned how to hotwire that thing, and that thing was going 40 k's an hour. It was getting dangerous. It was Need for Speed in those streets. I'm telling you right now, when I would turn up to school, kids would put their JBLs on, and it would just be, they see him rolling. And they're like, guys, you can't laugh. I'm in a wheelchair. What's going on right now? Nah, it's fine. Everyone doesn't know if they can laugh in that moment. But the reality is, at the age of 9, my whole life now is defined by this disease, by this dysfunction. And the thing that I'm struggling with is I'll faithfully go to church every week and people will say to me, hey, Darren, Jesus loves you. Hey, Darren, Jesus has a plan for your life. Hey, Darren, it's going to be okay. Can I be really honest with you right now? That did not matter to me because that did not speak to the situation that I was in. At the age of 9, I'm already having these thoughts of like, does my life matter? Does Jesus love me? Does my life have any purpose? Will I have friends? Can I tell you right now, it was soul destroying that in primary school, I would overhear my friends talking about how they would have to try and include me in the group activity, but it would be almost impossible purely from the fact that I'm in a wheelchair. Can I tell you right now, I don't know what your story is. I don't know what your background is, but maybe you're here tonight and you would have a facade on your face and you would say, hey, it's all good. But deep inside, there is a greater need in your heart, in your mind. Can I tell you tonight, young person, one encounter with Jesus can change everything. I want to go to this next photo and I want to land here for a little bit. I know it's creepy. Why is Bugs Bunny there? I don't know. You tell me. But anyway, I also don't know why my hat's sideways. Like, bro, I am not that cool. I think I'm a gangster, but I ain't. Like, this is just me and Bugs Bunny hanging out. Now, we can laugh at the photo, but this is me now at 13 years old, and this is where I want to land for a moment. At 13 years old, on the outside, I look like I'm somewhat enjoying life. I'm somewhat being able to enjoy myself, but can I tell you, in the deep parts of my heart and my mind, I don't mean to trigger anyone tonight, the thought that is most predominant is the fact that I don't like my life and I don't want to live it. At 13 years old, I start thinking to myself, well, if this is my reality, I don't want it anymore. Yet I have people telling me, Darren, Jesus loves you and he has a plan for your life. Darren, Jesus wants to heal you. Can I tell you right now, I had seen the doctors. I had seen the specialists. I had been all around. Why do I read Mark 5 with Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood? Friend, can I tell you tonight, you might have a lot like Jairus. He had influence. He had money. He had everything he needed to live a comfortable life. But when it mattered most, what he needed was Jesus to enter his situation. The woman with the issue of blood, you look at her and you're like, what's the context to this? Young person, she was not allowed to be there culturally. She was seen dirty, unclean. Yet she thought to herself, can I tell you tonight, I don't want you to think to yourself, man, I'm good. I don't need Jesus. I want you to hear the truth of the gospel tonight. She thought to herself, man, if I could just get near Jesus, he could change my life. One kneels in front of Jesus and he is perfectly fine in his stature and his situation. Another, she has to crawl through the crowd because she just knows if I could get near Jesus, he can change my life. Young person, I'm here to tell you tonight that one encounter with Jesus can change everything. So how do I go from this young boy, perfectly fine, year on year, my condition getting worse, my mental state breaking down. All while this is going on, it's not that our family is doing terrible, but in this time frame, my dad's business goes bankrupt. My mum, she's mentally ill. So we're being full-time supported by the local church and the government. And we have to shop at the thrift shop. Can I tell you right now, 15 years ago, that was not cool. You were not getting bargains. You were not getting deals. You were seen as less than if you had to go to the Salvos to get your clothes. So now at 13 years old, I am defined by my disability. My family is known by its dysfunction. We have no money. I have no friends. And I find myself at a youth night, kind of like this. I had given up. I didn't want anything to do with it. It reminds me of this verse. It says in the Bible, in Proverbs, that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Can I tell you right now, young person, I wasn't just physically sick, but in my heart, I had no hope. And yet my youth pastor, who had been through all of this with me, he said, Darren, would you just come to youth on Friday night, kind of like how we are now? And he said, would you just believe again that Jesus could heal you, that Jesus could change your life? And can I tell you, I didn't want to believe it. I didn't want to do it. But in this season, in this time, I thought to myself, kind of like the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus, I've done everything that I can do. Now it's time for you to do what you can do. So I turn up to youth on that night. I roll in, literally, I was in a wheelchair. I make my way down the front. I don't know if the person next to me, they're lifting their hands and it's tears down their face because it's the presence of God, or I've crushed their feet on the way through. Between you and me, I don't know. But this little boy, at 13 years old, full of insecurities, full of anxiety, no hope, no future, no direction, no purpose. I make my way down the front if the band would like to join me. And I thought to myself in my heart, Jesus, I can't do this anymore. It has to be you. And someone prayed for me. And in that moment, I would love to tell you that I got up straight out of that wheelchair, but young person, and this is my hope tonight, it wasn't that I miraculously got out of the wheelchair. It's that for the first time in 9 years, I thought to myself, Jesus can heal me. Jesus can change my life. Jesus can save me. The following week on a Tuesday, I was scheduled to go to the hospital. I knew how this went. They asked my dad if I could stay in overnight. I was like, all good, Dad. Get me a Happy Meal. Bring the PS2 Need for Speed. I know how this goes. I'm locked in. One night turned into two nights. Ben, you can come on stage. Two nights turned into four nights. Four nights turned into five nights. Five nights turned into eight nights. Eight nights turned into 14 nights. And over this two-week period, I came in on that electric wheelchair. Nothing had changed on the outside, but on the inside, I had made a decision to trust Jesus. I had made the decision to have hope again. I said it at the start and I'll say it again. Jesus is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do. And right in front of those doctors, two things are happening at the same time. They're sitting at the edge of my bed and they're telling me, Darren, you're not gonna work. We're gonna have to set you up with a disability support pension. This is what the quality of life is gonna look like. And I was embarrassed. I felt overwhelmed. Full-time carer at school. Everyone knows my name, not because I'm popular, but because of my dysfunction. Yet in the same time as they're looking at me saying, Darren, it doesn't look like it will get better. On the other hand, before their eyes, every day, something in my body got better. Every day, something in my body shifted. Where they went to tell me, Darren, here's more drugs, here's more medication. Every day, something would shift and they would decrease the dosage. They would say, oh, we don't have to do that anymore. And I'm here to tell you tonight, young people, a condition that has no cure, that has no ability to be healed in the natural. 2 weeks later, by the grace of God, in the healing power of Jesus, I might have been fragile in body, but I had this faith in my heart that Jesus could change everything. And right before their eyes, I hopped out of that hospital bed, and with a walker right in front of me, I planted my feet on the ground. And even though I was stumbling, and even though I was struggling, I put my hands out and I started walking around that hospital. I started moving, and right before their eyes, they looked at me, they looked at my dad, and they said, "We don't know how this is possible, but God." Young person, I'm here to tell you tonight that even though Jesus healed my body, the greatest miracle he ever did for me was he healed my heart. He saved my soul. Because 12 months prior to this, even though I was confused in my mind, I was overwhelmed in my heart, I made this decision one Friday night at youth. I said, "Jesus, whether you heal me or you don't, I will make the decision to make you my Lord and Savior." And for a year, I asked God, "Would you just tell me what you would do with my life? Would you just show me? Would you just direct me?" Young person, can I tell you tonight? One encounter with Jesus can change everything. You might be here in the room and it could be physical, it could be mental, but can I tell you, I'm asking you here tonight, if we could all just stand to our feet right now, if we could do this quietly and do this quickly, because in a moment we're going to invite people down the front to respond. Hey, just look at me, young person. I understand we had the beanbag community. Come on, we got the guys up the back. I want you to stay with me for the next 2 minutes. Young person, I don't know where you are tonight in your faith, but can I tell you, maybe you've never met Jesus and maybe you're far from him, but would you be like Jesus in this moment? And would you allow yourself, like Jairus, would you allow yourself the opportunity to understand, I have a need and I need Jesus to fill it? Maybe you go to church, but you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never heard about Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the Bible is so clear that we've all fallen short of the gospel. We've all fallen short of the standard. But by God's grace, by what he did on the cross, we can be saved. The Bible is very clear that the wages of sin, what's that? We've just missed the mark, is death. But through the gift of God, the free gift of God, of eternal life, we can be saved. Young person, I didn't get on a plane and travel all the way here tonight just to tickle your ears or just to make you feel good. I came here tonight because I believe there's many in the room tonight. If you're really honest with yourself, you have not put your faith, you have not put your trust in Jesus. And tonight, I believe one encounter can change everything. Hope can re-enter your heart. You can have clarity in your mind. You can know that you're saved. You can start living in freedom. How can I tell you that? Well, that was 14 years ago that Jesus saved my soul and healed my body. And now I live free from those insecurities. Now I have the dream of the life that I thought would never happen. Not because I am good, but because I made a decision on a Friday night. Jesus, would you take my life? Would you save my life? Would you turn it around? So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I would just love if you would give the person next to you privacy. Young person, I am here tonight to tell you that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, that if you're in the room tonight, it's not by accident, it's not by coincidence. Jesus knew you would be here tonight, and he would look at this room and say, "Young person, would you allow me? Would you give me the opportunity to save you?" The Bible says that he knocks at the door of your heart. He will not force his way in, but simply tonight you can respond to the gospel. You can respond to who Jesus is and what he has done, that he paid the price for your sin, that he went to that cross, that 3 days later he rose again, that you no longer need to live in what you're living in, but you can live a new life, a free life, a life saved by grace. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anyone here tonight, you would say, "Darren, I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. Darren, I want him to change my life." How he changed yours. On the count of three, from the front to the back, the left to the right, I want you to lift your hand and I want you to show me if that's you tonight. 1, 2, 3. Is there anyone here tonight that would say, "Darren, I need saving"? Come on, hands up everywhere. Come on, right now, from the front to the back, the left to the right, nice and high. Come on. If you're here tonight, you're like, "Darren, I am not a Christian. Darren, I am far from God. Darren, I need to be saved." Come on, for the next few moments, if you're here tonight and you would say, "I'm far from God, I've walked away, but tonight is my night to come back." Come on, I want you to lift your hand nice and high for me right now. Come on, I need to see it. Help me out, I'm short. Come on, if you're here tonight, lift that hand, lift that hand, lift that hand. Come on, 10 more seconds if you're here tonight. Don't allow yourself to walk out 80% sure, 60% sure. Allow yourself to walk out tonight and know that you are saved, that Jesus has forgiven you. Come on, right now, if you got someone next to you, if you got a friend that wants to come down the front, for every hand lifted or maybe every heart that's open, I want you to start making your way down the front right now. Come on, if you've lifted your hand, I want you to start coming down to this altar. Maybe grab a friend and bring them with you. Come on, you got 20 seconds to get down the front. Come on, if you lifted your hand tonight, just come right now. If you need to bring a friend, bring them with you. Come on, if there's anyone else in the room tonight, you're like, Darren, I need to respond. I need Jesus to change my life. Come on, 10 more seconds. Come on, 9, 8, 7. Come on, there's time for you, friend. You can keep coming, keep coming. Come on, I just believe right now God's drawing you in. Come on, 5, 4, 3. Come on, there's more time. I see girls right here. Come on, just come, come, come. Come, come, come as close as you can. Young person tonight. Come on, I see a few more people coming down the front. Let's just squeeze in. I just want you to look at me really quickly. Tonight, I just want you to consider me your adopted older brother that's shorter than you. It's all right, we can measure our heights after the service, but this moment matters because I was once like you, a young person responding to an altar call. And can I tell you right now, this matters to God. You're not just joining a church, you're not just joining a religion, you're joining the family of God. So in a moment, I would love to lead you in a prayer. And as we pray this prayer, the Bible says so clearly that if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. There's nothing tonight that I can do for you, but can I tell you, Jesus is here. And this one moment can change everything. So for everyone down the front, and maybe for every Christian in the room, I would love you to pray and repeat this after me. Everyone say, Dear Jesus, today I surrender and I give you my life. I ask you would forgive me of all my sin, past, present, and future. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You died on a cross and you rose again. Tonight I am a Christian and I will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give these young people a massive round of applause?